Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, my name is Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like every single week, is manager Jacob. You tried to butt in there a little early, didn't you?
Quickly, but I didn't.
But you didn't. Only like at
you tried to be respectful.
Yeah, that's fine. Instead of talking over me, why don't you just talk to us about what you were eating or drinking this week?
I got a bone to pick this week with breakfast sandwiches, Sarah.
Interesting. Okay.
I know you're not a big fan of breakfast, but do you like breakfast sandwiches?
No, not really.
Like, not even if you're going on a road trip, you pick one up.
I'm not a big egg girl.
Okay, that kind of ruins it.
So then. Yeah.
I do have. Let me know what you think about this though. Breakfast sandwiches, I love them. I love bacon. I love sausage. All kinds of sausage as well. Mm-hmm. You can give me a little turkey sausage.
Ooh.
A little mixture in there.
All right.
I'm all about the hot sauce. I'm all about the egg.
Okay.
I'm all about even a little bit of veg on there. Throw a little avocado. Throw a little arugula.
I should backtrack. I do like breakfast sandwiches that don't have egg on them. So I like pea meal sandwiches stuff like that. Anyways,
I'll
continue.
I love tomato as well.
Interesting.
Here's the problem. I had a good, everyone in Toronto, if you have not had the Gold Standard breakfast sandwich, go ahead and try it.
I feel like it's amazing. Talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
However, I have something to pick about this, about breakfast sandwiches in general. Pickles or breakfast sandwiches? Yay or nay?
Well, I don't like pickles, so that's a nay.
Not at all?
No, I don't like anything that is pickled. I'm having deja vu right now.
Wait, did we talk
about this? We have literally, I need somebody else to confirm that we have had this conversation before.
Did we have this conversation?
And if we haven't, then like, I just have had it so many times in my life recently.
I am a little tired right now, so maybe I'm repeating something.
I despise pickles or anything pickled.
Okay, there are pickles on this breakfast sandwich.
That's an interesting, I don't.
This is a weird thing though. I bit into it the other day. I thought it was a jalapeno for a little bit.
See,
maybe there are jalapenos on it as well.
That would make more sense to me than a pickle, I feel like.
But I looked it up, and there are pickles on it. I actually had it right after the run, which we'll talk about later. But
did you like it? Like, you're it was bone to pick, so I'm guessing not.
Pickles on a breakfast sandwich, it was a little shocking, but I did like it.
It doesn't feel like a breakfast food. Like,
I just didn't. I just wasn't expecting it. And you know, when you bite into something, you're like, "What is that?"
It throws me, and I can't finish eating it. Usually,
I know. I had to take a mental second and like go to my happy place to reset to be able to finish it, because I know that happens with me as well. What about you, though? Any weird eating anything weird?
Eating anything weird these days? Not weird, but I love the soup dumplings from Trader Joe's, and obviously I can't be driving to Niagara to go to Trader Joe's every week, and they are always sold out when I do go there.
Yeah.
So Costco kind of has like a dupe of their version of dumplings, and they also come in like the little tray. The reason I love the Trader Joe's ones and the Costco ones now, because I'm obsessed with them, is it just comes in a little tray, you microwave it for 2 minutes, and it comes out, you put a little soy sauce, you put a little chili onion crunch, delicious snack, lunch. I'll probably eat it when I go home tonight, because it's so easy for like a quick little dinner situation.
How many did you go? Like, are they big or are they small?
No, they're little. Like, you eat the whole tray. Like, you eat all six. Ooh,
that's pretty satisfying.
Yeah. No, you eat all six. It's like, you eat the whole tray, which it's the perfect, though. Like, if I'm, like, in a rush and I just need to grab something, Costco now, dumplings. They are
the
amazing.
Are these, like, the soup dumplings, do they have, like, are they packed full of the, like, the liquid? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so the soup dumplings, it's not packed full, but they have, like, a little bit.
Like, make a little hole and then, like, I do this. Drink it. And then chew the rest? Or do you go for one bite?
What I like to do is I, like, take a first little bite.
Yeah.
Let some stuff out. And then I'll turn my... I eat it with a fork, which is apparently controversial, too. But then what I'll do is I'll, like, scoop some soy sauce into there. So then I'm getting soup.
Refill.
And I refill.
I was way too high. If you're not watching the YouTube version, go check that out. Because that was probably a great drop. I dropped my chair.
That was interesting. But yeah, the Costco soup dumplings, they're delicious. They always have them. And I would recommend.
I got to try them out. I haven't been to Costco in a while.
They're so yummy. I just bought another box when I was there the other day.
Sarah, wait, Costco, do you hit the samples hard or no?
No, I don't. Not at all? I don't like lines. I don't like people generally like trying to fight over free things, and so I don't. If it's like sometimes they have the like pierogi stand that's kind of permanently like if it's like that and there's no one around and they're all just sitting there, I'll grab it on the way by. But do I get in with fights with people over the samples?
I'll wait for a cracker. Yeah, and I, you know what, it's one of my favorite pastimes is like chatting up the people who are the sample people.
They don't want you to be chatting them up. I guarantee.
I know.
It's but true. It's like Costco samples. Like when I was a kid, absolutely. But now I'm as an adult, I have Costco down to a T. I'm in and out of there in under 30 minutes always because I know where everything is. I'm like in and out. Like sometimes I give myself extra time to look at stuff, but I can be in and out in 30 minutes. So like I'm not sitting around waiting for a free sample.
Do you have any other special Costco treats that you're like that you dive into?
The cookies we always get. The cookies are a classic.
The baked goods are elite.
And they have these like sweet potato crackers that I always have to get. There's like a few like staples, yeah.
Sarah, what are you reading or watching this week?
So I didn't have a reality show to watch. I watched Survivor Weekly. Not a crazy fan of this cast. I don't know if that's controversial.
Ooh.
But I'm not loving this season. And then I'm not really ready to dive into another big Bravo binge yet. So I needed something that I could just like watch while I'm like eating dinner, like this and that in the background. So what better than Big Brother Canada?
Ooh.
Specifically because they have like four or three episodes a week. I don't know. A lot of episodes
in
a week.
Yeah.
It's a lot of content. I also love that it's Canadian, support Canadian content. And yeah, I think it's like I haven't watched Big Brother in over a decade. Like I watched it growing up, like the American version, but I never watched the Canadian version. So I decided to watch it this year and I'm all in. I also have decided that is a show I could never go on. Like they're there for like 70 days living on a sound stage.
You couldn't live in the same place as that many people?
No, it's not that. It's the fact that it is a sound stage in Toronto and there's not even a real outside area and you're there for 70 days. And I would not be able to live there knowing that like my bed in my home is like
so close.
A kilometer down the street and I'm inside this house. Maybe if I was from somewhere else, it'd be different.
Could you get into the strategy though? Like,
I think so. I think like my friend Kayla was like, you'd be so good on Big Brother. Yeah. I think I could be good on Big Brother, but it's just also like the cameras are on you 24/7. I know people used to work on that show and I know they just like watch people. Like they used to have live streams that were 24 hours. Now they do these digital dailies where they like drop these like, I hear him being like, oh, a digital daily. I'm going to go watch one while I'm doing my makeup. I thought it was gonna be like a 10-minute video of like what happened during the day. No, it's 4 hours.
Full standalone.
Like of just like
more than
of just like the live footage essentially. Anyways, I'm all in on it though. I'm fully caught up now and yeah, I'm like really enjoying it. I'm enjoying having a new reality show to be.
I feel like they do a good job of casting as well, where you really get like characters.
You get a mix. There's a guy from Labrador, which is hilarious because
really?
He's got such a thick accent. But there's like a really good mix of people.
Okay, I gotta check it out.
And I love how on the Canadian shows, everyone is a stereotype of where they're from. Like it happens every single time. Yeah. What are you listening to?
I have officially launched it. Everyone can go and check it out right now. Jacob's Songs of the Summer
2024. Wow, why? Because
it's an official Spotify playlist.
Because you got above 17 degrees this week, so now you did it.
My DMs have been flooded, Sarah. Let me tell you, people demanding, where's the playlist? Mm-hmm. So I had to make it. And song number one, Grady, the artist Grady. I think I've shouted out Grady before.
Grady, like the one that like dated Addison Rae's mom.
Oh, whoa,
that's young
that
Grady.
True?
No, that's
young.
I'm so sorry.
I don't think it's the same person.
I literally just aged myself asking that question.
No.
Oh my God.
Grady. Okay. Grady is honestly one of my favorite artists. I shouted them out before. You have to check out Grady. And speaking of the comeback, this is the comeback of country, the year of country where country takes over. Grady dropped a new song called The Last One. That's number one on Jacob's Songs of the Summer 2024.
Okay.
If you're looking for a song that is going to give you the best vibes for warm weather, Grady, The Last One.
What else is on there? Give us a little.
Well, I had to throw on Sugar Jesus and Kaiza because I already talked about that being an entry. And then I've added We Can't Be Friends, Ariana Grande. I know I shouted out Yes And as maybe being the song of the summer, but then I backtracked and I said, you know what, it's going to be something from her album. And I think that's going to be the one because that's going to be the one that I'm about, you know, three Negronis deep in July. I'll probably be like rolling around on a beach dancing to that.
Interesting. Okay, I can get behind this. if you guys want to try and vouch for why your song should be on Jacob's Songs of Summer, you can come on our podcast and make your pitches.
And what is it called? Payola? I will definitely be paid to add your song. The cost is
$1 or one breakfast sandwich with pickles on it.
Sarah, what about you? What are you listening to this week?
Casey Musgraves, Deeper Well. Ooh, I got to go to the listening party, actually, which was pretty cool. I will say, a listening party is really weird because, like, there's people talking and, like, I can't really, like, dive into the lyrics, which is all I care about most of the time. Mm-hmm. So did a big full sat down, headphones on, full re-listen experience when the album came out on Friday. And although I do not believe it is better than Golden Hour, because that is a perfect album.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally album of the year. It's a perfect album. And that's, I really try not to, like, I think it's really difficult when you make such a flawless piece of art it's and then so you're always going to be compared back. To.
Yeah.
But this is the closest thing we've gotten to Golden Hour, I think, since it came out. Yeah. So I didn't love her last album, but Deeper Well has more Golden Hour vibes. I will say my only critique of it is it feels a little bit one-toned. Like there's not a lot of
ups and downs.
It's pretty one-toned, which is fine if that's in the mood, what I'm in the mood for. Yeah, I've been listening to it all weekend though. I really enjoy it. The Architect, I think, is my favorite song.
The Architect? Okay, I was going to say Jade Green is
Jade
mine.
Green is also
that's
good.
Like that's back to back right there.
Yeah, The Architect is great. And yeah, there's some like really good hidden gems that I think will become like big classics for her, but yeah, feels like we're more in that
that's
era.
Sometimes what happens with an album that on a few first few listens feels like one tone,
yeah,
certain songs start to stand out a little bit. I'm
for
hoping
sure.
That's what happens.
I think it's starting to happen, but I think in general, it's just like I was talking to someone about it last night. It's just like it's not an album, like it's not too high, not too low, it's pretty like mellow, steady the whole time, which is like good for me. I actually think it's a really good album for getting work done in the background because it's so chill that
and
I can like get
it,
other
it
stuff
also,
done.
Also, I feel like it also adds a good number of hits to her touring set list, maybe
for
to
sure.
Like really have some good, not mid-tier songs, but you know what
I mean?
Like
I
mean,
that's
some uppers, downers, and then some like really solid stuff. In the
that's
middle.
What I was a little concerned about though, is because she's playing at Scotiabank Arena, which is like a big, like she's doing
like
stadiums.
Too subdued.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just gonna be very curious to see what she does. Then again, like I didn't know how Taylor Swift was gonna be able to play Folklore or Evermore in a stadium, and she did it. So it's I leave it to Casey. I trust Spacey Casey in all that she does. So I'm just very excited that she's more back in her like old era.
Yeah,
like
good
she's kind of come back.
Sarah, speaking of Scotiabank Arena, something.
You were so close. You were there. You're on the right track.
Sarah, speaking of Scotiabank Arena, actually, somewhere you went this week.
Yeah, last night I went to see Zach Bryan in concert. Is this controversial? I thought it was fine.
Whoa, really?
Like, he's got a great voice. And I will say, I really love that I haven't been to a concert like that since Harry Styles, where it's a center stage moment. So that's the entire arena. He really, like, my sisters are going tonight and they're on the floor. I texted them being like, it literally won't matter where you stand on the floor. He does an even amount at every single, which I really appreciated. All those things were great.
I know the Zac Brown tickets were going for like pretty expensive.
So they were. I got
them. Worth the price of admission?
Well, I only paid like $120. Like okay. I got like when the pre-sale happened, I got a code. I bought four tickets at $120. I was in the 300s. It was great. And like the stage was really loud. I had these lights. It was really beautiful. But I don't know. I thought it was a good concert. Would I pay money to see him again? Probably not. I was really pissed off that he didn't play I Remember Everything. And there was all these TikToks of girls being sad at those shows. And then people are like, he has so much more music, whatever. But we just had this discussion before we came on the show. If Taylor Swift, who I'm sure doesn't want to play Shake It Off every goddamn tour, can play Shake It Off because it's one of her biggest songs ever at every tour, Zach Bryan can play all of his biggest hits at his first big arena tour. Do you know what I mean? Like, he either basically alternates, because I was looking at the set list, I always look at the set list when I'm at a concert, was he alternates between Something in the Orange or I Remember Everything. Those are his two biggest songs, and he alternates which one he's going to play. Like, you're not like Bruce Springsteen, who can start picking and choosing when you get to play songs. Like, you literally need to be playing your biggest hits.
Is this also the tour where, like, there's the thing that happens with the banjo player at one point?
Yeah, well, where he pretends that he's dead.
Yeah, I just think, like, if that's the big send, was it, like, cool?
I didn't know that was a thing.
Okay,
and
I've seen it so many times that I was like, it was a thing. I don't know if it would
and
hit.
And I was like, we just kind of stood there confused. I was just confused. I was like, I don't understand. Yeah. And then, like, the whole thing was, they're like, oh my God, Revival, like the big 10, he does 10 minute version of Revival. I'm like, it was good, but I was like, by like the fourth time we did the chorus, I'm like, all right, it's 11:15. Like, I want to get home and go to bed. And it's, I'm not like a diehard Zach Bryan fan. I enjoyed the show. I want to see him live. I really want to see what the hype was about these shows.
Do you think you'd be better in a different venue?
Maybe. It was loud, but like not as loud as like Noah Kahan was or any of those shows to me. So I don't know. I would love to see him at a festival, I think. I think it'd be an outdoor vibe. If it was Budweiser stage, I think I'd have a very different, you're right. Yeah. That's a fair, I would have a very different experience. Overall, good. Would I have paid $400? Absolutely fucking not. Good, not great. Is that the best way to put it?
Yeah.
It was good. It felt long. I was tired by the end of it. Mm. What about you? What somewhere you went?
I went somewhere super wholesome, and I knocked off. I've lived in Toronto for almost, I think, 15 years now, actually. And there are a few things that I haven't done in the city once, or one of them is I haven't gone up the CN Tower. I'm still...
You should do the run up the CN Tower.
Oh, actually, that's a good point. I should do that. That'd be fun. The climb. Maybe we'll do a talking fast, climbing high.
They reached out to me 2 days before it last year and were like, do you want to do it? And
really?
I was like, 2 days before? I feel like I should have like some warning.
Sub me in. I'll do it this year.
Okay.
But one of the other ones was Riverdale Farm in Riverdale Park. There's a farm there. And
you,
they have
okay.
animals.
My standby. You are like the most ride or die, like hardcore, like mayor of the East End of Toronto, essentially. And you didn't realize there was a farm.
No. I knew that there was one there.
Okay.
I thought
you were saying you didn't.
It's surprising that it's like somewhat operational and they actually have animals.
Riverdale
there.
Farm's cute. I've been to Riverdale Farm.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. Because like I've run through Riverdale Park all the time and I, you know, am there quite frequently, but I've never gone. But my brother, sister-in-law, and niece were in town. And I was like,
perfect.
Something fun to do with my niece, who is almost two. It's like, crazy. Why not? So we had a wholesome family day. We
love
walked
that.
Around. I was not drinking green beer because it was also St. Patrick's Day celebrations. But I was walking around with a child's hand holding my hand
and
looking
going to
at
the
pigs.
Zoo. That's a very different experience than I had in St. Patrick's Day. I love that. That's
so if
so
Willow's
cute.
Listening, remember those, the quack quack and the wah wah? Yeah.
Formative memories.
Yeah, so it was fun. I would recommend going to Riverdale Park.
What about something else that you did?
Okay, something I did this week, Sarah. You and I both did it. We went and had our first run club.
Woo.
We had to cancel the very first one because it was pouring rain.
Yeah, so this was number two, but it was actually number one.
Yeah, and we had a great group of people out there. We did a 2.5 kilometer loop, so we did 5 kilometers in total, had a little hang afterward. Everyone seemed to be in good spirits, even though it was kind of negative 3 degrees outside.
Yeah, I kept telling myself it was 1 degree, but it was not. It was like negative, and especially with the wind.
Yeah.
It might have been even colder. But shout out to everyone that actually like came through.
True, and shout out to Izzy and Michaela who held it down at the start and finish.
It was one of those things where I didn't realize how cold it was outside until Izzy and Michaela walked up and like Izzy's in a full parka. And I was like,
I know.
Oh,
and then she
true.
Asked me if I had a blanket in my car. And I was like, yeah, for sure.
So it was cold. But the nice thing is, like in my head, I'm like, that's going to be the coldest one we have. Like, it's only going to get warmer. I actually had someone message me this week being like, can't wait till it gets warmer to come to Run Club.
And I know, because looking at the forecast, there's 10 centimeters of snow for Saturday.
And our 8K. That's great. It's fine. It makes us stronger. It
100%.
Makes us stronger.
It's a good time and it's very approachable. I liked that it was a very approachable pace. Everyone kind of stuck together and finished together.
Trying to describe that to someone the other day. It's like very, it's not like if you've never, ever like ran anything before. I think it's a good like.
It's a social run.
Yeah, it's a social run. It's for people that like maybe are just starting to run or they're just starting to get into like training for the next like half marathon or something like that. And you just need that extra little kick to like go for the run. Someone like me who's like, I go for runs, but like I'm held more accountable when I can go for a group run like
100%,
that.
100%.
But I'm not like training to try and hit like a 5-minute kilometer and like try and like hit. Whatever.
Although
like
I think we did have some PRs in the group.
No, we
actually.
Did have some PRs. We always have PRs, which is great.
Yeah. So come on out. Check it out. And it'll be a fun time. We also have giveaways. And who doesn't love a giveaway?
We have so many giveaways. You never know what you're going to get. Could it be a Wake Water? Could it be dry shampoo? Could it be Band-Aids? We never know.
Could be. You never know. Sarah, something you did this week.
Something I did was I got 2 more tattoos. We're now at 4, if anyone's keeping track.
We have doubled in the last week.
Doubled in the last week. Literally, this one hadn't even healed yet, and I was already getting 2 more.
Okay, yeah, describe the tattoos for people that aren't watching.
Okay, so for listeners, I got 2 new tattoos. Well, technically 3. Have I talked about this one yet? I don't think so. I got one in LA on my forearm. So it's cute. It's a little wave. Izzy told me it was a very millennial tattoo. And then I got 2 more. I got a 23 behind my ear, which I keep saying it's my neck tattoo, so I have a neck tattoo like Jacob. But I will say, I like out of all the places I've gotten tattoos, did not feel it at all, which is crazy. I was the most anxious about it. I was worried that like...
Because it's right behind your
ear. Yeah, I was worried it would be sensitive, but I don't know what it is. I could not feel it at all. And then I got a forearm tattoo. So now I have my first real visible one. Like, I mean, I have one on the back of my arm, but in the sense of like, I can see it.
Because
this one that's behind my ear, I have no idea what it looks like. I can't see it.
For anyone who also hasn't watched your video, you did a really good video on grief
that you put out on TikTok.
That was, I don't know how much you want to get into now about the tattoos, but I would say go and watch that. Because apart from just being a good background for what the meaning behind your tattoos is, it was also just like a very reflective and honest look at what grief means.
Thanks. Yeah. I wanted to like, I mean, because they're very personal to me and it's not really something that I wanted to like make a video on, like whatever. And so I needed to find a way to like talk about it without talking about it. And I felt like it was a nice little balance of like just talking about the emotions and feeling of grief and how you handle it and like what you do with it, as opposed to like laying out my grief specifically. And it was well received, which I was very happy about because I don't normally post stuff like that. So
yeah, people don't.
Today we're joined by the one and only Virginia Tavegas, also known as Derek Baker. Welcome to Talking Fast.
Yo.
I need to know, are there people that genuinely think your name is Virginia? Like, has that happened?
Virginia, not Virginia Tavegas, but people call me Virginia all the time.
Like, thinking that's like part of the first name.
Not a bad name to have, though.
I like it, yeah. Ginny.
Ginny, that's
good. Yeah.
A good way to do it. I'm really curious because, is it like an alter ego for you at this point? You've been doing this for 10 years. Is it like you step into the Virginia Tavegas like mindset and then there's just like, there's day-to-day you and then there's Virginia Tavegas as like an alter ego almost?
Funny story?
Yeah, I would love a funny story.
I mean, kick it off with the story. So I moved during the pandemic. I moved out of the city. I lived in Toronto for like 15 years. And I moved to a really small town, which I'll leave unnamed, but a nice, beautiful small town in Southern Ontario. And I was like in the middle of renovations and doing yard work. And a couple neighbors, like children, my age, but like children, came up to the fence and were like leaned over the fence and were like, "Hey, what's going on, man?" And I had like a big beard and like... I was like full like pandemic mode. I was like doing yard work. I had a 6-pack of PBRs. Like,
classic. Really leaning into the small town Southern Ontario vibe.
In the sun. They're warm. And they're like, "Hey, what are you doing? You're new to town?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm new to town. You guys want a beer?" And I overheard one of the guys being like, "That's not the guy."
Oh, because like they had heard that you were like...
They heard that I was the guy from Virginia to Vegas, but... They
took one glance at you.
They were like, "That's not the guy."
I'm drinking warm PBR during yard work.
They hang around and have
they did. I invited them into the studio afterwards. Like I kept the gag going for a little while, and then I invited them in.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So alter ego, mate. I don't know. It's weird.
But like, I mean, I'm just curious because I feel like I don't know. It's like I mean, if I had a different stage name or something, I would just assume that you, some part would feel like you're maybe stepping into that role when you do it. Like, does that happen? Or is it just now it's just like they're merged. It's a part of you. So it doesn't like the lines are really blurred.
I guess that's interesting. Maybe like for like, I think there's different hats you wear. And I think like any job, like, you know, for the live aspect, like when you go and play a show, it's a bit of a different hat, different personality. Mm-hmm. When you're in the studio, different hat, different personality. When you're doing like business calls, different hats, different personalities. But I don't know. I feel like one thing that I've noticed as I've gotten older is like all of those versions of myself are kind of getting closer to one person, which is Derek.
which is Derek,
yeah,
who just dropped a vinyl with your greatest hits after a 10 years in your career. What made you want to drop a greatest hits record? I think that's so cool. Like, I love that you're celebrating, like, not like 50 years down the road or like the end of the like road. Like, I love that you're doing it in the middle of it.
I mean, We Are Stars came out 10 years ago, so it came out in 2014.
Big high school song for me.
Oh, really?
12. I used to watch Much Music every single day when I went home, and in the best way possible, could not escape that song.
I look pretty funny in that video. There's like skinny jeans, big boots, leather jacket. It is very 2014.
I was going to say, it was a little Tumblr energy.
Yeah.
Like, it was giving.
I mean, I was on Tumblr, so I was like, how do I be Maddie Healy? You know what I mean?
It was 100%. Like, I know you went through like an Instagram, like where part of your Instagram was only black and white too. I was like, this is all giving the 2014 to like 16
speaking
era.
Speaking about the different personas that you've gone through, as you've kind of melded into who you are now over the last decade, what were mm-hmm. some of those other personas?
Oh, geez. I don't know. There was like LA Derek, which was like...
Was he a good guy?
Well, he inspired a better man. So I feel like there was some growth that needed to come from...
You know what? You have to go through some of those periods to get there.
Yeah. So I think my brother really recognized. He's like, I don't really like LA Derek. He's like, you should come home. And I was like, yeah, I guess I should.
So what was that experience like then, like going through all of these like eras of yourself over the past 10 years and like reliving it as you're putting out like greatest hits?
Yeah, pretty wild. I mean, I think like it really hit me when I like got the test press like home and mm-hmm. put it on a vinyl player and mm-hmm. needle drops. And like, first of all, I own like 6 vinyls, so I'm not like a vinyl aficionado or anything, but like, I like...
The crackle really got to you.
The crackle made me crackle. I teared up. I was like, wow, this is crazy, because, you know, I hear 10 years of my life in sequence and remember all these different mm-hmm. chapters and these different moments in sequence. And it's like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah. There I was at 24, there I was at 25, and so on and so forth. And now I'm in my 30s.
Is it weird to have that like cap off of a decade, which is a nice round number to kind mm-hmm. of put out an album like this? I know me, I catch myself sometimes, you know, getting to a kind of maybe a turning point or, you know, a nice solid decade is cracked off and you look back and you're like, whoa, where did all of the time go? And I imagine, like you just said, it's kind of encapsulating to hear it all in one place. It's got to be pretty emotional.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre. It really is bizarre. And I think, you know, I'm really fortunate that I've been able to have an opportunity to put music out for, mm-hmm. you know, an extended period of time, and people still care 10 years later. And, you know, there's still day ones, but then there's fans from different, you know, parts of the career. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's just, it's bizarre and emotional and lovely and sweet and awesome all at once.
So did the idea for the greatest hits like come before the single Time, or did you write that song and you're like, oh, I'm like really in my feels about time and my career and all that? And then like, which came first?
So the idea of doing a greatest hits came from the 10-year anniversary of We Are Stars.
Okay.
I just wanted to like put out a package of mm-hmm. all the material and like have something tangible for people that have been there mm-hmm. and create like, you know, something that was, you know, I designed it. I did the thing, and I wanted it to be, you know, personal. But Time came from, Time's a pandemic song. Mm-hmm. So I wrote that like second year of the pandemic at a buddy's cottage, and it wasn't meant to be a song about, you know, capping off a 10-year, you know, era for myself. It was just a song that I, you know, was thinking about how time does move so strangely. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's slow. And, you know, I lost my dad over the 10-year period where I put this music out, mm-hmm. and he was a big inspiration for, you know, the reason why I did music in the first place. He was such an audiophile. So that song was just kind of, you know, explaining all of those emotions that I'm sure everyone felt during the mm-hmm. pandemic, like what is going on.
Yeah.
And when we put the album together, I realized it was kind of a perfect track 12.
Yeah, it worked. Like, I was listening to the playlist that you made on Spotify that like had all, because I don't have the physical vinyl, obviously, but having the and I was listening to it all in chronological order today. And it was, if that's why, like, I actually was wondering more so if you wrote that song and then this came after, because it felt like it perfectly encompasses what the past 10 years of your music has been like. And that's from an outsider, so I can't even fathom like what that would feel like to like realize that has all come together like that for you.
The universe is weird.
Crazy.
It just like, sometimes I feel like it aligns, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah. For me, that song, I love Time. Like, to me, it's like, you know, certain songs in my career that I just like, I'm really emotionally attached to, and mm-hmm. and Time is definitely one of them. So I'm really glad that people are liking it.
Yeah. I love it. I was listening to it in the car the other day, and at the beginning of the show, we have a segment where we talked about things that we did this week, and I was talking about going to Riverdale Farm with my niece, who's like a year and a half old, almost 2 years old. Mm. And so I was listening to that song, but also then we're getting out of the car and we're hanging out with my brother. And I had this moment of realization, and the song kind of actually was in the background of my head. Honestly, when this is happening, I was like, whoa, this is weird to mm-hmm. realize now that like, I'm not the kid running around the farm. I'm like the next generation. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's a very strange experience to go through something like that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I have nieces, and my brother is like such a great dad, and my other brothers, him and his wife are in the hospital right now. Like they're having twins, like,
oh wow,
now. Oh my God.
Like literally as this is happening.
Yeah,
that's exciting. I know, it's crazy, the one that's like when you start having like people in your life that are like a physical representation of time, because it's like you're watching like a child like grow up, and that really puts in perspective how quickly it goes by.
It also got me thinking of times in my life that I would like to return to as a kid. There's some pretty big memories that I would go back to. If you had a moment in time that you could return to over any portion of your life, it doesn't have to be one specific memory, it could just be a you know, an era of you, what would it be?
Oh geez, that's so hard. I don't know. Like high school was great because I was so like, I was so brave about like my determination to do music. And like, it was so polarizing. I grew up in Guelph, and you know, some people either like, they like loved that I was like, so, you know, brazen about music, and other people like chirped me like so much.
Yeah.
So like, but that kind of like, feeling like fueled me, and I just felt like I went into like you know, my adult life with so much something to prove, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the little like chip on your shoulder
almost. Yeah,
you get it. I love that. I also come from a small town and moved to the big city, and that like whole idea, and I you can almost like tell when someone came from like a smaller city or a smaller town or whatever, because it is, you almost like have this like, I'll show you mentality to like the small town people that I grew up with. Shout out Coburg if any of them are listening on this podcast. But it's like, it's almost like what pushes you, it like fuels you a little bit. Like I always think of the song Mean by Taylor Swift. It's like, someday I'll be living in a big old city and all you're ever gonna be is mean. That's like what plays in my head if I was having like a life. And I feel like the small town to big city era does that for you.
We talked about it on the podcast, but I was the only one of my friends who came to, I'm only from Waterloo, so it's not that far away as well, but like
close,
only one of the ones who came to Toronto. I was like, why didn't anyone come with me?
And you
like, I was the first out of my friend group.
Yeah,
but I love Waterloo. The Huther Hotel, let's go.
Yeah. My sister used to work there.
I used to play there every Saturday. They had an open mic.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys would have missed it because we didn't record it. It was when we were talking before we got started. You guys were bonding over love of furniture, architecture, all of that. But one thing that Jacob's really passionate about that you should know is that he's like a passionate EastEnder.
When I was doing prep for this, I was like, this is the first question. And it's not even a question. It's more of a campaign, because in Just Friends, the lyric goes, why don't we go out and grab a drink in the West End? I am here today to campaign to you to change the lyric to grab a drink in the East End.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we are aligned.
In being East Enders.
So when I moved to Toronto, first place I was right across from the Drake Hotel. And then like, as many people in Toronto probably do, every year I went to a new apartment because rent prices are crazy and different parts of town or whatever. So I just kind of progressively moved east and east and east and east and east to the last place I lived was the beach, and I loved living in the beach. I love Leslieville. I lived in Leslieville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
so nice.
Love the East End. East End gets the best sunsets. East it's End true. Is calm. You can walk your dog.
Yeah.
Shout out Susan. I love you. I miss you. No, the whole thing for me was always like, you know, East End was chill to live in because it's so calm and like you're not like running into everybody when you go to like the grocery store.
True. I do like that. Yes.
And you don't look like you looked like on Friday night when you're at like Laissez Faire or something like that.
Oh my God. Jesus.
So it's kind of like, for me, it was always like, let's go to the East. Yeah. Let's live in the East. It's calm. It's chill. There's still pubs. There's still things to do. It's like a great part of the city to live in. Mm-hmm. But why don't we go out and get a drink in the West End is like, let's go catch some vibes and then we'll retire to the
okay,
east.
You know what?
Maybe it makes more sense now when you think of it geographically, the
as
song
someone,
in your head,
you know
doesn't
what? As someone who lives in the East End and wants to keep it the East End, you know what? Maybe you've sold me that it's better to actually go
also
west.
Also, getting your friends in the West End to go east,
they
like
won't do
east
it.
Of Yonge is like almost impossible.
I don't want to say exactly where I live, but it's not that far east.
Okay.
And it's I so had difficult. A friend come from just like actually near the Drake Hotel.
Yeah.
Came over and they spent the first like 15 minutes of this hang just talking about how awful it was to get over here.
Oh my
like,
God.
Do you know how often I do that in the other direction?
No. And also, it's cheaper to live in the East End and it's just as nice.
Do you have maybe both West and East in Toronto? Because we got a lot of Toronto
listeners.
Yeah,
let's source some places
to
grab a drink.
The best place to go and grab a drink?
I'm like a little out of touch. I've been gone for like 3 years, but...
Maybe a vibe, though, too. Like, are you going to a place that's, like, you can go and dance afterward? Or are you going somewhere a little bit more chill?
Kind of depends on, like, the evening, but usually it's, like, the Monarch, which is, like... Mm-hmm.
They got vinyl listening nights there.
You can play pool. It's super chill. Ted's Collision, super...
I was there on... We were just talking about in the opening segment. I was just there on Saturday because I went out on College Street with my girlfriends.
Yeah.
And it was that moment where we're... Because I'm late 20s, so it's, like, that... The north side of College Street is all like the dancey bars. I call them the standing bars. But then you cross the street and the average age goes up by a decade. It's all the sitting bars. So
right.
Like Ted's Collision.
I guess I'm in that demographic.
No, I am now too. So I was like, it was just hilarious. That like literally, it was like the College Street divide. You could like see the university students going to track and field and like Hail Mary or whatever versus Ted's Collision across the street.
I feel like I've played like the Mod Club like a gazillion times.
Classic.
So I feel like every time I like finish at the Mod Club, we like go to Ted's and like play pool and listen to like thrasher punk and like I look like a thrasher punk kind of guy, but I just love that bar and I've met so many cool musicians there, like Danny and the they're from Ireland, they're so cool. He just messaged me, they were playing History like last week. I'm gonna have to search it, but they're so good. And so I just feel like every time I've been in there, it's always like musicians or people in the, you know, and actually Christian Montano. So the guy that masters all of my records, shout out Montano Mastering.
I shot a music video for a band that he was in years ago. He was in a rock band.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are going to like have a little bromance after this. And it's hilarious.
Anyway, go ahead.
So him and I are playing pool at Ted's, and I didn't know he worked in music and he didn't know I worked in music. And anyway, I said to his buddy, I said, oh, what do you guys do? And he goes, he's a mastering guy. And he said, what do you do? I said, I'm in a band. And his buddy goes, yeah, what kind of music? I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I said, if you beat me in the game of pool, you can master my next record.
Oh, no way.
And he beat me in the game of pool.
I love that.
And now Christian's mastered like every single one of my records since No Excuses. And
we're
like
amazing.
Great friends.
A great networking place too, apparently.
Apparently.
Okay, so we've got the West End covered a bit. We're going to Ted's. I guess that's where we're going for a drink. Where are we going in the East End?
East End for drinks. Well, I don't want to give away all my spots,
drinks,
but like...
Just like vibes.
We do like to hide the places over here a little bit.
I have ruined many a bar, unfortunately. Maybe pick like your third favorite spot.
Like the the Broadview is pretty cool, right? Like the rooftop.
Yeah, good rooftop.
Good rooftop.
Broadview.
I like the Comrade, which is just down the street as well.
Comrade's good for like late night cocktail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the place on the corner that also has pool tables? It's a red building. Trying to remember the name.
Oh,
the Duke.
Oh my
yes,
God.
I love
the Duke.
The Duke's also a classic.
The Duke, you're going to go and you're going to get some characters at the
Duke
as well.
But shout out the bartender if you happen to watch this, because every time I go in there, he always puts one of my songs on the jukebox.
Oh, I love that.
He's so sweet. So I don't like fancy places.
Me
like
neither.
I like dive bars. I like, you
best.
Know, pool table. Have a draft beer.
Yeah.
You also know
paying cash only. It's a little bit of a front.
Know that it's kind of a divey place too when the washroom is one of the troughs.
Oh.
And they have a trough.
Is the Duke a trough?
The Duke's a trough.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah,
I was there like a month ago. Yeah. Why were you with the Duke a month ago? Crazy.
I brought like probably like 100 people to the Duke after Rufus Del Sol when they played at the park.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it was like we turned that place into a nightclub.
Into a nightclub. I've only been to the Duke once, and it was with my 50 to 60 year old colleagues because they all live in Leslieville and are like Leslieville parents, and they were like, after whatever, we go to a work Jays game. They're like, let's all go to the Duke. I was like, I need to experience this with you guys, actually. I've heard so many stories.
What's the brunch place north side of Queen? Is it Lily?
White Lily Diner.
White Lily. That, yeah. I mean, that's amazing for breakfast. Amazing. Love that. They have good hash browns.
Really good.
East
really
End.
Good.
I don't live in the East End, personally. I just...
Sure, we're going to have to do a tour. Here. We're going to have we'll to do a podcast tour. We'll do some live spots.
I love that. And then we'll put one of your songs in the jukebox at every single place you recommend it. I got you. Or request it. So if you've just done a greatest hits press, you've got Time, a song that like kind of like is represented like the last 10 years of your life. What do the next 10 years look like? Or what do you want them to look like?
I mean... Well, tomorrow I'm in the studio working on the next album.
That's exciting.
So we're already like jumping in on new music, which is like really fun. That. And I don't know, probably family, probably mm-hmm. like, you know, taking.
I mean, you're in a small town now. Some more warm PBRs.
More hanging out with my neighbors, having bonfires. Yeah. I don't know. I think, yeah, it's just, I mean, things are, you know, the last 10 years have been great, but it's weird because things are really picking up for Virginia to Vegas. Like, other places in the world, like we're going and doing a full cross-country tour in China in June or May.
Random, but great.
So wild.
Have you been? Have you toured before?
I've never toured in China, but during the pandemic, like a couple of the songs just like blew up.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And we're like, what is this? So last year we went to Southeast Asia to like
that's cool.
kind of explore and see what was happening, meet with some of the partners like mm-hmm. at Universal down there. And apparently my music's like bigger there than it is here. So I'm going to find out in May.
Okay, so I want to jump back to Better Man. Better Man was a song that came out at like probably the perfect time for me. I had just gone through a big breakup. It was like 7-year-long relationship, was going through a big transition mm-hmm. in my life. And I was actually took a lot of time to like, you know, work on myself. But then when I got myself back out there, I was in an Uber on the way to a date, a first date. And that song was on in the Uber and I actually Shazammed it. So I saved it immediately. And the date did not work out. But I've told that story so many times to people because I was like, this is added to my playlist, or one of my playlists has been there for a long time. And that was like the best thing that came from that date. Because nothing else came from it.
Oh my God, that's so awesome. But wait, that's so sweet. Yeah,
that's such a nice
You're such a Shazam king too, like always.
I am. But we talk a lot about relationship advice and whatnot because we have an advice segment mm-hmm. on okay. this show. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to ask you, do you have any advice for someone who might be in that situation, who is kind of at the Better Man era of their own life, who's going through a big change, maybe relationship related, to focus on yourself and take that next step?
I think, well, first of all, like, you know, the song is Better Man. It's not like Good Man or
Best
like
Man. Best Man. Okay.
It's like the whole idea of the song is like, you know, to improve. And, you know, the thing is, you know, it's on an album called Constant State of Improvement, because no matter what you do, there's always things that you can do to kind of like, you know, work on certain aspects of your personality or, you know, things that you want to improve upon. So I think if you're like going through something with a partner or independently or whatever, I think showing up for yourself is like really mm-hmm. important, and doing like, you know, trauma recovery for yourself and mm-hmm. doing like taking time to understand, you know, why you might react a certain way or why you're triggered by certain things or, you know, any of those kind of issues is just like really spending the time diving in on who you are and how you can be better. Because if you show up for yourself and improve upon yourself, I feel like only then can you show up for a partner.
100%.
Well said.
I hear a lot of artists talk about when they like write a song. So let's say like something like Better Man, that's like true to you and it's like important to you. And, but then when you release it into the world, it becomes everybody else's.
Yeah.
Is that like an experience you get excited for? Do you get a little anxious for it? Or like, what's that like when you take a song that like means so much to you in your personal growth journey, and then it becomes something that's represented for Jacob going on a first date that may or may not work out after like a long-term relationship or something?
I mean, that's just like so touching to me, first of all, like when people tell me like how my music has like made it into their world or their life, like it's never lost on me. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like such an honor and such a gift. So I'm just like grateful for that. But I feel like, you know, songs are like a bit of, you know, they're kind of like mantras. So like the things that you say are the things that you do, and the things that, you know, the things that you call into the world. So I kind of, you know, became conscious of that as I, you know, got a little older. I wanted to, like, you know, it's always fun to write fun songs, but it's also good to write songs that, like, are something that you're going to want to sing every night.
So stepping back into the studio to record new music, what is the new mantra?
The new mantra is pretty fun. It's like, it's fun, but it's a little bit more wholesome. It's a little bit more, it's a little bit more grown up, which sounds so cliche.
Well, we're going from Casamigos to warm PBRs. That's like the transition, is it not?
Touche. Touche.
What's the hardest part about getting back into the studio?
I don't think really anything, to be honest. Like, I love working in the studio. I have a studio at my house.
Yeah.
My production partner and I have, like, worked together for like the last decade. So when we hang out, we go to Penny's afterwards, and we have, you know, like a little slider and a PBR.
Nice.
And it's just like a fun time. And, you know, like, I've kind of, like, separated the creation of music now, where, like, I'll do, like, a writing week, and then a production week, and then a vocal week, and then a refining week, and really kind of, like, take my time with it to make sure that, like, you know, the right songs are making their way through. It's like a kind of a long curation process. So yeah, I feel like I for me, I'm most comfortable in the studio. I love, I'm so excited for tomorrow.
That's so exciting. Yeah. So what is something that, like, for, you said you're touring Asia a bit, but for, like, Canadian listeners, because mostly people listen to this podcast, what's something that they can be excited about? So, like, I don't know how long it takes to make an album. Does it take a really long time?
Like, new music, like, this summer, for sure.
I teased about that off the beginning. I have Jacob's Songs of the Summer playlist. I did it last year.
People are on the edge of their seats.
I said people are slamming my DMs for this. Maybe not really.
It's really big. So
I'm looking for the next summer banger to add to my playlist. So
I definitely have one for you. Like, the new album is, like, a little bit yacht rocky. It's a little bit John Mayer. It's a little bit, like, it's just fun. It's, like, fun, and there's, like, some wholesome songs in there, but it's stuff that you could, like, sit out at a patio, enjoy yourself, be in the city, and, like, listen to. I feel like, you know, my music is, I always try to, like, create little pictures, and Toronto has had such an influence on me over the last decade that, like, I always want my music to be, like, you know, you could picture driving down Lakeshore with the windows down with your friends, or, you know, sitting at that patio, or in Trinity, or wherever. It, you know, I want it to feel like summertime. So the new record is definitely summertime vibes.
If you're telling me it's, like, a Toronto summertime vibes, yeah, then Toronto, that's a Toronto summer record.
Well, my version of Toronto. So, like, whatever.
Yeah,
that
but
is.
All the things you're saying are, the, I mean, but it's clearly it's Jacob's version of Toronto as well.
I'm like, oh, great. I'm basically a musician. I can just have someone it's all soundtrack my life.
Yeah, exactly. Your Songs of Summer playlist is just going to be the new Virginia to Vegas album.
Please.
Please. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I'm so excited for new music. How was this? This was your first in, like, person. You said you've done Zoom podcasts, vibe check, good.
This
You're on the
great.
Spot now.
Amazing. No, I love it.
Okay,
you guys
good.
Are the best. I feel like I've made two new friends in the city.
I love that. Yes. Could you imagine if he was like, no, this sucked. I would just cut it.
Just straight constructive criticism, yeah.
Thank you, as always, for listening to another episode of Talking Fast. We drop new episodes every single Wednesday. Like, comment, subscribe, rate us 5 stars. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can also watch us every single week on YouTube. Full episodes drop on Wednesday mornings as well. I've been Sarah. That's been Jacob. This has been Derek. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.